November 19th, Buenos Aires, our first meeting of the day with NPOC. We'd like to welcome the members of NPOC here. Thank you so much for joining us. Allow me, this is Brian Cute, to give you an overview of where we are in our work, and very much looking forward to our interaction with you today. We have issued a draft report and recommendations. It is out for public comment. The comment period closes tomorrow, I believe, and a reply comment period will follow for 21 days. And obviously, we would welcome any written comments NPOC might want to offer with respect to the draft report and recommendations. We will be issuing a final report and recommendations to the ICANN board on December 31st. Where we are in the stage of our work is we're meeting with ACs and SOs, and we met with the board yesterday in Buenos Aires to get face-to-face feedback. And then we have the comments that will come in, and we will have a discussion with ICANN staff about implementability of our recommendations and then endeavor to finalize our report. So we have important work to do, and your input is part of that. What we're looking for at a high level, but we're open to hear any observations you have, is the following. Can you give us a reaction as to whether or not we've hit the target with any of our recommendations? Are there recommendations that are resonating well with you, and therefore we should keep them as final recommendations? Or are there any recommendations where we have missed the mark? For some reason or another, you think that a recommendation is not well founded, or that it might not be helpful in ICANN's efforts to improve accountability and transparency for some reason. So if you can give us those reactions and any other observations you might have, that would be very much appreciated. So with that framing of it, this really is your meeting for you to provide feedback on the report and recommendations. So, Rudy, with that, please. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. My name is Marie-Laure Lemineur, for the record, and the chair of NPOC. I'll start with a couple of comments and questions, and actually I have a long list of questions, but I can't really monopolize the whole session. So if there isn't enough time, I'll post to ask all the questions. I'll post the ones I won't be able to ask on the website. Anyhow, first of all, in the name of NPOC, we would like to congratulate you not only for the amount of work you've been doing, but for also the quality of the work that has been done. Really, it's the draft that has been issued, the report is very interesting. It takes a long time to read it, but it's okay. That's that's what it's about. And the thing is that I'm aware that that probably it has been a challenge for all of you to invest such amount of time working on the reports and the content of the report. But you should be proud of what you've been doing. I've been hearing a mention of the reports all over the place, which I think is a good sign. Myself, I belong to the Policy and Implementation Working Group, and when the evaluation report was issued about the PDP process, the policy development process of the GNSO, I made sure to make a reference of the report within the working group because I thought it was a very, very valuable report, the first one. And yesterday, during over the weekend, during the GNSO session, many members of the council and the audience also mentioned your report. So I think if you want to grasp, to have an idea of the impact of your report, I think it's a good beginning, right? Another comment I would like to make, I don't know whether my memory fails me, but yesterday during the opening remarks of Fadi, I somehow heard that he said that during his first year, he took care of the recommendations of implementing or making sure that the recommendations of the first reports were actually implemented. So I'm not sure whether I misheard him, but I tried to listen to the video link, the audio cast, but I wasn't able to activate it. So it could be worth. I don't know whether any of you has heard that comments, and I was a bit surprised because we know that it's not entirely true. That's right. I don't know whether. Okay, very specific question I have about the idea of prioritizing. I have a problem with this word. I'm sorry. Prioritizing? This is the way. This is the correct way. Thank you. You understood me. So at some point in the report, you speak of the idea that you would like to prioritize some of the recommendations. I thought about it, and I'm not really sure it would be a good idea, at least in my views, because I would understand that this would be based on the premise that some of the recommendations, all of them are important, but some are important and urgent to be implemented. And I'm wondering who is going to decide what's urgent and what's not urgent. I mean, the question is, if you ask a GAG member, he might tell you that the recommendations linked to the GAG are more important than the GNSO recommendations, related recommendations. If you ask me, I'll tell you that the PDP process recommendations are more important. So depending on which shoes you are, I think that the answer regarding to what is more urgent than one recommendation is more urgent than the other will vary. So I'm not sure. I think it's subjective, you know. So you should take this into consideration, seems to me. What I also wanted to say is that at some point in the report, you mentioned that the board is required to follow only the recommendations of the reports when you refer to the evaluation study of the PDP, of the policy development process. I would hope that right now, since we are in phase two of the new season at ICANN, that I would hope that there is some kind of openness to also look at the evaluation study and have a hard look at it and detailed look at it and incorporate it in the implementation of the recommendations. Finally, I have another comment to make about the metrics, the recommendations linked to the metrics. Again, I sort of understood from Fadi's comments, opening remarks yesterday, that metrics were important to him and to his staff. And also remember that, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that he hasn't paid attention, and he and his team, they haven't paid a lot of attention to the metrics during this first year. So hopefully this comes at the right time, and will be addressed by Fadi and his team. Now, specifically regarding recommendation 10.3, which refers to equitable participation. There is a mention of having within the GNSO addressing the representativity in terms of geographical scope and other issues. I'm having a hard time with the visa proceeding issues, the fact that to have more people from different countries and different regions, ICANN needs to do something about the visa. I know ICANN is not UN, I'm aware of that. It's not ITU. But then if ICANN wants to have more, you know, a more geographical scope of members, you need to address, ICANN needs to address and coordinate somehow with the local hosts how to improve the way visas are delivered. I don't know, a better coordination somehow. We have the case of two African NPOC members. They were not able to come here because they've been denied the visa, and the process, I know it's each country has sovereignty and decides whether they deliver or not the visa, but the coordination between ICANN and the foreign affairs and the immigration authorities will be very important. I don't know whether that fits with this recommendation. It could fit, but somehow. That would be it for the moment. I don't know whether Klaus or Ruby want to, or you want to answer.
Yes, thank you, Marie-Laure, and thank you very much for the very thoughtful feedback and focused feedback. That's very welcome. Let me start with the last point. So there is a recommendation that has to do with broadening participation in the PDP in particular. I think the issue that you talked to, that you're speaking to in terms of visas, is an issue that is salient. I think what would be useful is if there are examples or data around where that has been a problem or a barrier to participation, that's helpful. We need to prepare a report and recommendations based on facts, and facts are very welcome. So it sounds like an important issue that's related to this recommendation, and if there are facts or data that can be provided, that's very welcome. Going back to, and this is just reactions to some of your observations there, you mentioned Fadi's comments about implementation of recommendations from prior review teams, and I'm not going to speak for him and only paraphrase, but I heard say that he pushed to have all of those recommendations implemented. That was one of the actions he took, which is a welcome action. This review team's job is to assess how ICANN implemented recommendations of prior review teams, ATRT1, security, stability, and resiliency, and who is. And in assessing that, this review team's orientation has been not just focusing on have the recommendations been implemented from a mechanistic standpoint, but have they been implemented in an effective way. So we're taking an assessment of that ourselves. Secondly, Fadi did make a commitment at our first face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles in March, I believe it was, to have metrics adopted review team recommendations and the implementation thereof. So that commitment is on the record. There is a meeting, One World Trust has been engaged by ICANN staff to help develop a framework around metrics, and there is a meeting this week. When is that, Larissa?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 10:30, One World Trust is holding a session. To the extent that issue is of interest to you and you are available, I would encourage you to attend that meeting and provide input back to One World Trust, because it is an important issue that will be part of our report. As to prioritization, I think you actually hit the point as we are viewing it, that we're not looking at any recommendation as more important than another, but there may be some that are more urgent, and it's important that they be acted on soon for a variety of reasons. As to who decides, thank you for the point on subjectivity. It's a valid point. Depending on who we ask in the community, we have to factor in their priorities and their orientation. But we are asking the community as part of our outreach, are there recommendations that you think are urgent? And we're going to take that feedback on board. Whether we prioritize some recommendations or not is yet to be seen, but we are looking for that input. So I think that's my immediate reaction to your points. Avery.
Yeah, just to add a quick point to that last one. I definitely agree with you about the subjectivity. And what we're basically looking for when we're asking that is something is going to happen on a certain date. And so, therefore, the recommendation perhaps needs to be dealt with before that certain date. So that kind of fact, you know, based, there is a deadline kind of thing could be a reason to push something forward. But I very much agree with you about the subjectivity. So it really needs some sort of external event sort of creating the urgency.
Yes, because I was thinking right now we are entering the review of a process of your review of the GNSO, for example. And also we have the policy and implementation working group. So that looks like it's a perfect moment to somehow articulate that the you know all these initiatives all together and coordinate and establish some kind of deadlines.
Please.
Thank you, Sintra Sukhanan. I agree with Marlo. This is quite a comprehensive, report, and I do think a lot of our recommendations from our prior meetings have been captured. That being said, I do think that there needs to be a greater stress on transparency, especially in terms of familial ties, and how to deal with us being such a closed and small community, but yet one person wearing many hats or having close relations to different constituencies based on familial ties, etc. I do think that cross-community rules needs to be maybe fleshed out a bit in terms of how do we develop a charter from two communities dealing with one working group, as well as ongoing working group procedures. Again, as well, in terms of charter development, in our case, NPOC is trying to update our charter, but we fall under the NCSG. So us updating our charter really makes little sense if NCSG then goes about the same procedure. So I think those rules need to be defined, and that needs to be flagged by the board. How does a constituency go about doing that function, which is an important function to review, but within the scope of the other organizations that it falls under? There's a mention of geographic region, and Marie-Laure had spoken to that. I have a bit of a difficulty with us relying on the UN structure of putting countries and putting representatives in terms of strictly geographic regions. I think we need to look at ICANN on a broader level in terms of communities of interest, and I think maybe that is a term that needs to start coming up in this report. I think, so for instance, I'm a representative from the Caribbean, but my issues may not be the same as Brazil or Argentina, but closer aligned to islands of the Pacific. So I think in terms of internationalization, ICANN needs to start grouping us not necessarily in terms of region, but also in terms of communities of interest. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question of when you are grouped on a regional basis by ICANN, what is the impact? How does that affect your participation in a material way?
Our population sizes are a lot smaller than Brazil or most of the Latin American countries. As well, they are predominantly Spanish-speaking. We are English-speaking. So it limits our participation because our calls have to be both in Spanish and English, and there's a bridge in between. So in terms of us working with them to produce a document in English, it's very different. As well, we have more of a Commonwealth background, so even our vision of democracy is slightly different. So, I mean, it's not just a policy or, a technical issue. It's more people-ish issue. So,
thank you. Other inputs? Rudy.
Yes, well, I have maybe a nasty question, but based on the meeting and the experience of several meetings, GNSO with GAC, I'm just wondering if you're considering bringing up a recommendation that in the GAC there would be a kind of time limit for interventions by countries in order not to capture a meeting. As we have seen during the GNSO GAC meeting, half of the hour has been captured by the representative of Iran. We know he did the same in Dubai too, but at the end, it doesn't allow you to have a decent discussion. And I'm just wondering, is there any recommendation you're willing to bring to the table to say, is there any possibility to restrict capturing the attention of a meeting in a way that at the end, implementation of policy becomes really difficult if they are not ending up in a consensus. That's what I feel in, and I think the new GTLD program is a good sample. By talking and talking and talking, you don't end up in a result. And it makes the world quite difficult for everybody, and especially those from outside the ICANN world that are investing in the ICANN world. It makes really working in a decent way very difficult. And now being involved in, as tomorrow, GLSO will pass the motion to start the translation and transliteration of contact data, PDP, working group. It's a quite important one. What I'm afraid is that we are going to work for a long time on that PDP, prepare it, and that the GAC will blow it away just by start discussing and having a lot of arguments. So I'm just asking if there is any idea about trying to put on the plate this kind of time limit intervention.
Thank you for that. We do have specific GAC recommendations that you may have seen. We actually just reissued them. They weren't in the executive summary. We don't have a recommendation that goes to that specific behavior, if you will, but there are some targeted GAC recommendations I take a look at, and we'll take that on board. Carlos.
Just a short comment. I think we're carrying over from ATRT 1 the question of early engagement of GAC in the policy development process, and there have been discussions and some supporting documents. And this is certainly an issue that has not been solved since ATRT 1. And under this perspective, you have to look at the GAC section, which is rather comprehensive, and also the board section that includes some GAC issues, and also at the annex on the GNSO PDP process, which also includes some issues related to GAC. We heard yesterday that we might have to take the GAC issues and put it under a GAC chapter, maybe even if the affirmation of commitments doesn't call for a separate chapter. But certainly this is one thing that I would put under the hat, early engagement of the GAC since ATRT 1. Thank you.
Thank you. Other observations?
Sorry, Rudy speaking. There was another item that I have highlighted as point 4 in your recommendations list, is develop complementary mechanisms for SOSA consultation on administrative and executive issues to be addressed at the board level. What is the real goal of trying to implement complementary mechanisms? The actual ones are already quite complex. So I'm wondering if it's going to be a process that will simplify and not make it more complex. As we see that, I'm coming from the at-large, to be clear. I have been approximately 8 years in the at-large. So I have seen how advice works. I've seen how advice is going up to the top levels, the board. And I have seen also how it came back. Or didn't come back at all. And now I'm trying to see how the results of advice are converted into real policy and how difficult it is to get a good relationship and a good bridging between advice and policy at early stage in order to avoid that we are losing too much time. So I'm asking myself, with this recommendation, is this the recommendation to really simplify and make things smoother? Or is it rather adding complexity?
And just to be clear, the recommendation, is this recognition of AC and SO advice by the board? I want to make sure we're talking about the same recommendation.
I don't think so. I don't have it in front of me, but it's the one earlier that's talking about the administration details. The AC advice one is actually later in the list. I don't have the numbers in front of me, unfortunately. I can go find it quick. Or do you have the number in front of
you? I'm scrolling now. If anyone has the exact recommendation, I'll make sure we're speaking to the yep. right one you're referencing, Rudy. Do you have the number of the?
It's number 4 in the summary, and this was one of the ones that's not in the text.
Number 4 in the summary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Avery. The kind of the thing I think Larry was sort of saying when I read that one, it was one that I flagged, but I forgot to flag yesterday. I wasn't quite sure.
This is recommendation 6. This is follow on from recommendation 6 of ATRT 1. No, but there's a parenthesis here which says regarding policy versus implementation versus executive function distinction out of ATRT 1. So this is a follow-on recommendation from recommendation 6 in ATRT 1. And ATRT 1 recommended that the board draw a distinction between policy and implementation. And that actually hasn't happened yet. However, there has been engagement with the community. In fact, a couple of sessions with the community. One most recently at the spring ICANN meeting, I believe, in Beijing, where there has been a dynamic discussion across the community of what is the distinction between policy and implementation. Can we draw that line? Can't we draw that line? I think there's been recognition by this review team that, A, that's a difficult line to draw. B, it might be a line that at the end of the day can't be drawn effectively. But C, the fact that the community has been engaged in a useful discussion about this is in itself an important development. And I think the thrust of this is that to the extent it's possible that the board should continue to try to develop mechanisms to facilitate the understanding of the distinction between the two from an operational perspective. And so that I hope that provides clarity about the thrust of the recommendation. And we are looking at these recommendations, again, from a plain English perspective and may edit them a bit more. But that's the root of that recommendation. That's what it's attempting to accomplish. Does that answer your question or clarify a bit? Clarify for you, Larry?
That could not possibly have clarified with a recommendation. We need to fix this one.
Other questions?
Looks like we don't have any more other questions or comments. Oh, we do?
Well, maybe just one item. As my law has underlined, you have, Dean, done an remarkable work, and reading a report of 233 pages is not something you're just doing in a few minutes, even not on a plane when you have a 14-hour flight. When you start reading, you fall asleep because it's not a book you're reading and saying, okay, this is going to be a movie later. It's not a bestseller. However... No, I didn't know you before, so I'm just wondering, such a report, how many people are really reading it? Have you any impression of how many people are going really through the report and are really studying what's coming out of it? Because for me it was a strong digest during the 14-hour flight. I fell asleep twice, and I got awake. Damn it, was this?
So you're saying this is better than sleeping pills on a plane?
Well, but at the end, it's an enormous volume of work you have been putting in it, and I've used the recommendation list because that's the easiest one to go through, and when you want to refer back, you have to really go. Maybe a simple suggestion. Having this smaller list of recommendations, maybe having a reference to the where in the report you can find a description of what that recommendation really means, instead of, I had to figure out where can I find this, like the point 4, it's probably hidden in many points of the report. So maybe it makes people life easier when there is a reference back to, look, in the report, it's page 110 till 140. Just an idea.
Avery.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, some of that is what we've been hearing a lot, so we're working on that, and so appreciate it. But actually, that's been one of my best clues, that people are actually reading it from almost every one of the groups we talk to. There's someone that's got a similar issue, so at least we know within most groups at least one person has really struggled, because they tell us, and it's a good clue. But you're right, and one of the things that we have talked about is, first of all, and I think the suggestion of the cross-references is a good one. We've talked, and maybe even a table somewhere that makes it easier, is making, while we cannot take the ICANNies, as we've been calling it, out of the, or at least as I've been calling it, we cannot take it out of the in-depth discussions, we can certainly try to take it out of that first section, so that first section can be read by anyone without them needing 5 years of ICANN experience to parse it. And so that's certainly an effort that is on the schedule for somebody in the group. I'm not sure who's going to get stuck doing that one.
An external consultant.
Someone who understands. But anyhow, so indeed. And and actually, you know, and this is only half tongue-in-cheek, recommending that people pick it up for the long plane ride home as a thing to read and perhaps help them with their sleeping problems is a dual purpose. I'm going to say, please read our report. It may help with your flight.
No, thank you. That very good input, and we are hearing that consistently. And on another point, we're not really sure how many folks are reading it. We actually asked for statistics on visits to the website, to the report, and the visits seem to be on the lower side. But we also know that as the comment period comes to an end, more people will pick it up, as is the habit, and probably provide reactions to it, which is useful. So we encourage you to do that. If you have written responses or comments, please submit them. And I guess the last question we'd ask to go back to the beginning is, are there, from your perspective, any recommendations in here that you would deem to be urgent?
Truly speaking, maybe one that triggers me, and I'm most probably not the only one. As we see, ICANN moving in some world that was not initially and is not initially the task of ICANN. I mean, stepping into the real internet governance. There are some directions that are taken now. For instance, I'm taking the sample of the OneNet. It's all of a sudden happens, and you're shaked into situations where is this ICANN's work? Is this ISOC's work? To be clear, I'm a member of the ISOC board, so it makes me really life not easy to understand. Is this now something I have to consider in my ISOC board being a very high priority, or is this more work that I have to accomplish being a member of an ICANN constituency? So I'm wondering if the review team is thinking about having eventually an additional recommendation in to the board saying, well, please try to calm down sometimes the energy that the CEO has to try to change the world quicker than we are able to think about. That's my personal reflection.
Thank you. Yes, please.
I would like to follow up on this one because I feel extremely uncomfortable when I'm reading the conversations which are going on, for example, in OneNet. The point is that I think they are completely right. What Fatih is trying to do is honorable and right. That's not the problem. The problem is when suddenly you're turning up emails, we have to nominate five people to go to to go to Brazil, and it has to be done by next Wednesday. And then an email followed by, there is a group of five international leaders which will talk sometime and decide who's going. Nobody knows where the money is. Nobody knows how things are decided. On the other hand, everything seems to be so terribly important. I feel extremely uncomfortable with that situation. And that cannot go on, because just that one emails, there is a little group of five people deciding what's going on. That is so damaging to ICANN. And it's not. It doesn't matter if it comes from ICANN or it is from an ICANN participant. It's just ICANN is associated with this kind of methodology is really harming. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm being stubborn, but I wouldn't use the importance urgent and important non-urgent urgent classification. I would use the other type of parameters to decide how to operationalize the recommendations. Let's say what department within ICANN would be in charge of developing, implementing the recommendation, what team. Because I think it could be parallel processes, could be done in a parallel way and without using whether it's urgent or not urgent. Do you know what? I don't know whether it's clear what I'm saying.
Understanding not using those words is clear. Let me give you an example from yesterday's meeting with the board, something that a director shared with us, and I think there was a common sense on the board on the point, was that the issue of reconsideration, mm-hmm. which is the focus of one of our recommendations, mm-hmm. There was a recognition from the director mm-hmm. that there seems to be a persistent perception in the community that there is a problem with the reconsideration mechanism. And while some on the board feel as though the issue was properly addressed, mm-hmm. there is a persistent perception in the community that there is a problem. Mm-hmm. And from that perspective, the suggestion to us was you might want to prioritize that recommendation mm-hmm. so that this perception issue in the community mm-hmm. can be resolved. Mm-hmm. That was one form of prioritization.
Sure.
Are there other forms that we should be thinking of besides the labels urgent or important?
Yes, as I said, I'll maybe other criteria, such as because I believe that they can most of the recommendations can be implemented at the same time in a parallel way. So, but then again, you need to classify, obviously, to classify them to decide how it's going to be done. I don't know whether it's up to you, but it will be up to ICANN to decide. But if you want to provide some guidance, it could be, financial. I mean, the financial the recommendations linked to financial issues obviously have to go through a certain path within ICANN, and it would be different whether when it's the GNSO related. A recommendation, I would think so. So what I'm saying is, depending on what you address, the type of recommendations and who is going to be, I mean, the type of community or SOACs that is going to be targeted could be a criteria to use. And then you can do most of those things at the same time. Different timing, but parallel processes. Maybe different deadlines, but more or less, the financial department can be working at the same time and other group can be working with the GNSO to review the policy development process. And ICANN board can be doing its job addressing some of the other recommendations. At the same time, the GAG could be working. I mean, ICANN staff could be working with the GAG. That would be my view.
That's helpful. Any other thoughts on prioritization? Rudy.
Well, I have just one question. What about the unforeseen situations? Just like we have this thing happening with the OneNet, is there? I consider that you cannot categorize them being in one or the other. It is an important and urgent. So is there any category unforeseen situations that should be on the list of definitions to try to, if there is a situation, if there is a case where it is not in one of the two categories, that it can still be handled and considered in a way that everybody knows that there is an urgency? I'm from origin always a worst case looker, and when I can solve the worst case situation, I can handle the others quite easy. So what if the unforeseen situation happens, and how can you tackle that then?
Yeah, for us, we have to refer back to paragraph 9.1 of the affirmation of commitments, which provides us with our roadmap, if you will, of scope of work and decisions made by the organization. We do look at those. Currently we're looking in a backward sense at a track record of implementation of recommendations. I'm not sure how we would get to the issue you're talking about, which is from an operational standpoint, things come up and how do you react to them. I'm not sure that our scope of work would allow us to get precisely to that point. 9.1 is what we have to follow, but certainly take a look at the recommendations and see if there's anything that might be impactful on that point and bring it forward in your comments, if you would. Anything else? Thank you very much. Really appreciate the forethought that you gave to the inputs that you brought to us. Very, very welcome. And again, any comments, even brief, are very welcome, so we can factor them into our final report. Thank you.
Thanks to you.
We'll close now.